ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Only around 1 in 20 Australians eat enough fruit and veggies. That's right, 5%. The rest of us are falling way short of what the evidence shows is best for us. And honestly, you can understand it. When you look at the prices of fresh produce in the shop, it's easy to hesitate because that cost per kilo can feel like you need to take out a second mortgage to fill your fruit bowl. But is it really that expensive? A Monash study has looked at our perception of prices of fresh produce and found that displaying a cost per serving on the ticket led shoppers to buy more vegetables. I will unpick why this works in a second. With me is Associate Professor Fiona Newton, who's a consumer psychology expert at Monash. She led the study. It saw shoppers at selected IGA stores bought more veggies when the tags displayed cost per serving instead of cost per kilo. Fiona, welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you for having me.
I've tried to distill your findings, but tell me a bit about what you looked at.
Okay, it started with the exact thing that you've just said. People look at the sticker and they get sticker shock. Mm. So what this is about is debundling how many nutritional serves are in a kilo of veg, and it's 13 serves. So let's take zucchinis as an example. If you see a pricing ticket at the moment in normal retail environments, it's $7.99 per kilo. Yeah. What we've done is we've said it's only 60 cents per nutritional serve. So nutritional serve pricing is just a simple addition to supermarket tickets. It shows the cost in addition to the per kilo price of one nutritional serve of veg or fruit.
It can be even more confusing depending on where you shop, because sometimes this veg is price per kilo, this is price per unit. It might be $4 for a half a head of cauliflower or something. Like, I don't know if that's good value or not.
And that's the problem. It's abstracted out from what we eat. And so what we've done with nutritional per serve pricing is to say this is the consumption cost of a single nutritional serve. And in the environment, in the supermarket environment, you also see, and you need 2 and 5 of these. So 2 of fruit and 5 serves of veg per day. That's the recommended amount. And so it gives shoppers a clearer sense of value and a simpler way to assess what veg fits within their budget, because carrots at $2.99 a kilo come down to just 22 cents per nutritional serve. So they might want to double down and have 2 serves of carrots and then a serve of zucchini, and they would still be just around that dollar value for 3 serves of veg. So it helps them to see that veggies are affordable.
I'm going to splash out and have my 44 cents worth of carrot. Is cost the main reason veggie uptake is still so low?
It's one of the many reasons. So our study has found that just adding nutritional serve pricing can increase average loyalty card shoppers' amount that they purchase per day by 60 grams. And that's an extra 420 grams a week. But there are other factors that can influence our veg purchases. And one of those is time poverty. People think they may not have enough time. Another one is taste. A lot of people think, I can't get them to taste good. And that's why we're so delighted that AusVeg, the national body for vegetable growers in Australia, has endorsed our findings and is sharing them with growers and retailers through their Plus One Serve program, which is about helping Australians eat one more serve of veg per day by 2030. And in that program are lots of quick hacks. How to make veggies tasty, how to store them in your fridge better so that they don't go off, how to help kids eat veg, because some kids don't really like it.
You're listening to Life Matters here on ABC Radio National. I'm Tegan Taylor. The voice you've been hearing is that of Associate Professor Fiona Newton, who led a study looking at IGA Richie's supermarkets if they changed the pricing from cost per kilo to cost per serve on veggies. People bought more veggies. Great, love it. Hot tip here from Greg. He says, get gout. It motivates you to cut down on red meat and increase your veggies. I don't want to do that. But also with me is Jane Martin. She's the Executive Manager of the Food for Health Alliance. Jane, welcome back to Life Matters.
Thanks, Tegan.
So we're hearing Fiona's study. One one, I think, of many potential arrows in our quiver if getting people to eat more veg is the goal. How do you see something like what Fiona's done fit into a broader food system?
Yeah, look, I think it's really interesting. It seems so simple, but what a great hack to, you know, manipulate people's perception getting products to look more affordable, and particularly the products that people need to eat a lot more of. So I think that's really interesting how you can increase sales in that way. And we know, as Fiona said, that people feel that healthy foods are more expensive than ultra-processed junk foods, but they're not. Apart from price, convenience is also a really big element of, it's a barrier for people, as Fiona said, around preparation and the time that's required to do that. So there's a number of elements at play, but certainly this is a very simple thing that can support people to eat more fruit and veg.
I'm interested, you mentioned ultra-processed food, quote-unquote junk food there. Fiona, I haven't done the numbers myself. I suspect, depending on the ultra-processed food, that if you applied a similar cost per serve label, it would also seem very cheap. Is there a way that this kind of approach could end up being weaponized by big food companies that are pushing the kind of food that you're presumably trying to get people to steer clear of?
That's a really good question. And what we're calling this is nutritional serve pricing. So the ultra processed aren't going to be able to say that there is recommended daily intakes associated with that. And so when we work with Ritchie's and IGA, it's all around this being used only in situations where there are recommended nutritional guidelines to base this on. And when you take it at that level, it can preserve what we're trying to achieve. What we're trying to do here is to combine price with nutritional guidance information right at the point of decision making, where consumers have to decide if they're going to put this into their trolley or not. And so I think keeping it to nutritional servings, which are linked to recommended daily intake, helps to preserve what we're doing.
Jane?
Yeah, look, I think that's a really good point. We don't need to do any more promotion of processed, packaged, unhealthy foods in the supermarket. That's being done very, very well and is very, very effective. And the majority of what is being bought from supermarkets are those sorts of foods. So we need to shift the dial. There aren't recommended servings for those sorts of unhealthy packaged products, high in fat, salt, sugar, energy. And, you know, there's a lot of deep discounting, a lot of promotions happening of those products already, and we want to shift people away and use those same strategies. This unit pricing idea is one, but, you know, we need to see more discounts on these products. We need to see more promotion of these healthier products over and above the unhealthy variety.
How can fruit and veg compete in a marketing sense with the big powerhouses of the ultra-processed food manufacturers?
I think it is really difficult. We need to really look more broadly at the system. How do we create a healthier food supply? How do we incentivize that? You know, food manufacturers are very innovative, but what we have is these highly processed products that are very, very cheap and very, very available. And one of the ways to do that is really to shift the demand. So, you know, this is a small piece of a much bigger puzzle, but, you know, we could do more in settings like hospitals purchasing healthy, sustainable food. We could have, you know, it's really important that settings where children are, such as schools, early childcare, early learning, recreation centres, really push healthier options and diminish the supply and sales of unhealthier foods. And until we really start to shift those incentives and shift demand away from the unhealthy processed products and develop the market and develop the demand for the healthier products, that's when things will really shift. So it's really that food procurement. You know, government funding can be very powerful. And then through innovation and research and development, supporting, you know, that sector and that sort of manufacturing around healthier foods and potentially value adding to fruit and vegetables to make it more convenient and easier for people, that hopefully would bring the price down and increase the demand.
Here on ABC Radio National, you're listening to Life Matters. I'm Tegan Taylor. I'm with Jane Martin from the Food for Health Alliance and Associate Professor Fiona Newton from Monash University. Tina says, I have a freezer full of single-serve soups. I make four different ones each season. Minestrone has eight veg. Currently making a zucchini, onion and green olive soup. Another person says, shop at the fruit and veggie shop where you can just buy what you need, not a whole packet in plastic. Similarly, Sally says, I'm lucky to be near Asian fruit and veg shops in Marrickville, Campsie and Ashfield. Mm-hmm. They're so much cheaper, fresher and varied. Fiona, I think it really depends a lot on where you live as to what's available to you and how much it costs. You know, if you do live near Asian fruit and veg shops or small grocers or in a growing area, that's amazing. Do you see a trial like what you've done feasibly being able to be rolled out in the big two supermarkets?
Absolutely. It's a low-cost, scalable, practical way for all retailers to help Aussies decide what ones they want to put into their trolley. It's just a fast and easy way to do it. It's a simple change to ticketing prices. We're not saying remove per kilo, we're saying add to that information the cost of the nutritional serve and make it easy for consumers to quickly scan that environment to pick the ones that are going to fit their budget.
You say there would be savings to the healthcare system if we all just ate one more serve of veggies. Can you talk me through this modelling?
Absolutely. So this modelling is from AusVeg, which is part of Hort Innovation. And so what they're saying is that if all of us ate one extra 75-gram serving of veg a day, we would see health cost savings of $1 billion. Now, supply chain benefits from growers through to retailers of around $3 billion. And it's worth noting that 85% of that would go into growers in the regional communities, and that it would also create new jobs. So if you were thinking like that's just one extra 75-gram serving of veg per day for all of us, it's good for us, it supports our growers, and it's going to help that supply chain. And I think that's a really interesting way of thinking how we can help ourselves and the broader community in such a simple way.
There's another text here on the text line that I might see if you have a take on, Jane. One person saying, I think we need to rethink the definition of food. And just because ultra-processed food is edible, it doesn't really have much food or nutritional content. Maybe we need to be naming UPF something other than food. What's your take on that, Jane?
Yeah, look, I think it's interesting. It's very pervasive now in our society. They're just ingredients mixed together. I like that idea. I mean, maybe we could call them frankenfoods or something like that. But I haven't come up with a good word myself. So maybe callers could give us their tips.
Tell me what you think ultra-processed foods should be called instead. It's really tricky. There are all sorts of reasons why people choose foods that aren't corely around nutrition. There's cultural reasons, and sometimes they just taste really good. One text says, my producer says it should be called UP slop, as in AI slop, but ultra-processed. I don't mind that. And a text saying, I'm surprised there's been no mention of the fact that the widespread use of fast food, ultra-processed takeaway and convenience has led to the bastardization of palates. Fresh and nutritious tastes bland to those whose palates have been compromised. Fiona, what do you reckon on that?
I'm not a nutritionist, but it makes common sense to me. The more sugar you eat, the more that you can really crave that. But more importantly, you end up not liking the more bitter taste green veggies. The more salt, the same thing. If it doesn't have salt, it doesn't taste right. So I think that there's some truth in that. And I think that one of the things that needs to be done with vegetables is to think of fast ways that we can add some healthy flavour to it through the use of additional herbs, vinaigrettes, just nice little things that you can do to a salad in summer to get that extra serve of veg.
Jane, I'm conscious that this kind of conversation can veer a little snobby sometimes. And just to bring it back to what's going to be actually easy for people, the path of least resistance, that people aren't bad for choosing things that aren't optimally nutritious for them. What sort of framework should we be bringing to conversations like this?
Yeah, look, I think it's really important that we look to that broader societal influence and what can be done to change it. And this conversation around price promotions, for example, in supermarkets is part of a feasibility study that the government's doing, looking at options to limit unhealthy food marketing to children. And it's sort of nested within a whole range of elements. And this is just one part of what's driving demand for these unhealthy products and leading to unhealthy diets and overweight and obesity and chronic disease. So, that's one thing. We need a holistic approach. We need to put a health levy on sugary drinks to incentivise manufacturers to reduce the amount of sugar and put more low, no sugar products on the market. We need to ensure that schools are full of healthier foods and that you're not having soft drinks, lollies, processed foods in those settings. We need to start from early ages to improve the foods you can buy in supermarkets for babies and toddlers, and that's in train. We need to make the Health Star rating mandatory, which is we're moving towards. So they're all some of the regulatory things that have been done. They've been done in other countries, and they have shown that people have shifted their diets, but you do need to take a comprehensive approach. And then added into that, social marketing, so education campaigns layered over these regulatory frameworks that will support people, that will change the environment in the same way that we have done with tobacco control. You know, it was price, promotion, availability, and then these hard-hitting every cigarette doing you damage campaigns that really started to shift the dial, and we need to move to that sort of action.
On the text line, people sharing their tips on what they do to keep their veggie costs low. Will says people should try growing their own veggies. I saved about $250 over the year just growing kale. Organically homegrown food is also fresher and more nutrient dense. Give it a go. Other end of the spectrum, Jen in Coburg says, interesting to see what the price per serve of fresh stacks up against frozen. Frozen veggies sometimes lack the crunch and appeal of fresh. For convenience, they can't be beaten, and I use them when I'm time-pressed. There is an extremely small change in nutrition between fresh and frozen. Well, Fiona, if people are feeling a little overwhelmed by all the tips and information we've given them today, what's one thing from your research that people could do today to make it easier?
Scan that food, fresh food environment, and just think about an extra serve of carrots and think about putting that with some hummus and having a snack in the afternoon instead of those ultra-processed foods. It would just a simple way to get another serve of veg. If you're buying that rotisserie chicken, add a good cup of salad mix. It's just an extra serve, and I really encourage listeners to think about how you could nudge yourself towards one extra serve, help yourself and help the growers.
Fiona, Jane, thank you both so much for sharing your wisdom today. Associate Professor Fiona Newton is a researcher at Monash Business School and looks at consumer psychology. Jane Martin is Executive Manager of the Food for Health Alliance.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.